It is our privilege this morning to be able to serve you with the Word of God. And I trust that when we finish this morning that you are more in love with Jesus and you walk in His call and His plan and His purpose for your life. And so we're going to unpack something of what we believe is vision for us this morning as a local church, going to minister into that. So if you have your Bibles with you, which I hope you do have, if you don't, we will have the scriptures on the screen behind me. Turn to the book of Ephesians and put your finger in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be referencing that quite a lot. I want to say this morning as we start to minister that any vision without Jesus is not a vision worth living for. I've walked with Jesus for many, many years, and that is true for my life. And I've discovered when He is the central focus of my life, when He has captivated my heart, and He is the one who empowers everything I do and energizes everything I dream about, that there is a fullness of life that comes by Him. So our vision this morning is probably nothing new. It's stuff that you've heard before, but it's to remind us that the reason we are here this morning is about Him, for Him, for Him. We get this incredible privilege to walk with Him and see Him do amazing things in our hearts and in our lives and work through us these incredible purposes of His. But it's about Him and it's for Him. And so our vision has to incorporate Him. Our vision has to be about Him. Hence, I'm looking at Ephesians this morning. When Jesus is honored and His gospel is preached, lives are transformed. We are sitting here this morning, those who have been saved through the blood of Christ, is because we heard the gospel, because somebody honored Jesus in the way they held out that word of life and His message of hope, His message of reconciliation, the power of His Spirit invaded our hearts and our lives and has transformed us. That's why we're here. Amen? That's what we're saying amen about. There's a baby saying amen. Baby's got it. That's what Jesus says, we are to have the faith of children. Maybe we should have the faith of babies. When Paul prays a visionary prayer, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, this is what he prays. And this is our prayer, friends, for you, for us. This is my prayer for my own life. And Paul prays, he says, may Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, that's us, being rooted and established in love, may have power together. You're going to hear a lot about togetherness this morning. That you may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. There is no limit to His love. There is no limit to His power. We heard that, I think it was last week. And to know this love, not just to see it, but to know this love, to experience this love, to walk and to live in this love that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, not a head knowledge of Jesus, but an experiential knowledge of Jesus. Not a secondhand knowledge of watching somebody else walk a life of faith, but experiencing it for ourselves. That we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's a desire of the Father for us, that we may be filled to the fullness, full measure of God. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, as we read this letter, it's a wonderful theological exposition of the Christ followers, who we are, our position in Jesus Christ. The first couple of chapters, that's what Paul deals with. He says we are positioned in a person, through the work of His message, the power of the gospel, we are positioned. And we've got to read those first couple of chapters. Then he deals with all of the living and the chapters following. But first thing he sets us up for is positioned. We are positioned in Christ. And surely the one that we are positioned in, we should be focusing on. Surely the one that we are positioned in, we should ask for vision from. Surely the one that we are positioned in, we should be honoring and bringing glory to in the way that we live our lives. Not only are we positioned in Him, but we receive from Him in that position grace, the fullness of God, the full measure of everything God has for us as His people is realized through the person of Jesus Christ. Incredible grace. And so this morning, as we minister into our vision for the year, we are called to to be a family on mission. Family of God on mission. Knowing Jesus, making him known, if you're just looking for a way to earth that or to ground it for yourself. And so the first 8 verses of Ephesians 2, we're going to reference that just now. Paul reminds the church, he reminds the believers, he reminds those who are positioned in Jesus Christ through the gospel of this wonder work of salvation. The wonder work of salvation, that we who were lost are now found, that through Jesus Christ we are positioned in a place of incredible love, a place of incredible grace, a place of incredible mercy, but a place of incredible purpose as well. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verse 19, consequently, in other words, as a result of the salvation, as a result of the transforming work of the gospel, Paul says, that act of grace, he says, it has set you somewhere, it's positioned you. He says, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. That work of grace, the gospel on a person's heart and life, has positioned us in a family, the family of God, the body of Christ, the Bible refers to it. And Jesus says, we, the church, are members of his body through his work of grace upon our life and upon our heart. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens. We are no longer, friends, strangers to God. We are no longer strangers to his love. We are no longer strangers to his grace and his righteousness. But that act of salvation has counted us as citizens of heaven, of his kingdom, outworked in a family, the household of God. Wonderful picture. I pray this morning that as we hear these words, something of that revelation settles in our heart. That when we are saved, we are not called to live in isolation. That straight away, that moment roots us in a family and connects us to a people of the same heart, the same values, and the same love for Jesus Christ. It is a wonder, this act of salvation, because once we were hostile towards God, in our unregenerate state, our unredeemed nature, the Bible says we were hostile towards God, but now through that work of salvation, we are reconciled. Paul writes Ephesians 2, verses 12 to 13, and there's just a reminder. Remember at that time when we lived our selfish, self-focused lives, excluding Jesus, denying God, doing our own thing, he says, you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship that he's talking about, foreigners to the covenant of these promises that we were singing about, and Jonah reminded us about while we were worshiping him. Without hope, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so there's this incredible privilege that we have, being counted as part of his family, of having the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ indwelling in our hearts, a purpose for our lives, having hope, having peace, access to a supernatural power. But that all comes with some responsibility, friends. And Paul reminds us of those responsibilities in verse 10 of Ephesians 2. He says, consequently, you're now members of a household, fellow citizens, but because of that, we are his handiwork. There's responsibility. We are God's handiwork, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are a display as a body of Christ of the handiwork of God's grace upon an unregenerate life. And that is the life we represent to this world that we live amongst. And so that word that came from Yanni, that's what God is wanting to do. He's wanting to send his handiwork out into the world to display his love, his grace, his mercy. And then he says, to do good works. It comes from this word called agathos, which means doing good to benefit others, not doing good to benefit me. Doing good to benefit others. So we, the church, exist not just for ourselves, for each other. If you haven't heard that before, you're hearing it today, and it might be a little bit of a wakker skrik for you. that we are called to reach this world that we were saved out of. This world that is hostile towards God. And we see it in their behavior, all the corruption and the stuff that is happening. That's as a result of an unregenerate nature, a heart that hasn't been redeemed. And we get this incredible privilege, God's handiwork, to go into this world and to reveal the love of God to it. Two responsibilities. To do good works and to display His glory. And so Paul implies when we read the scriptures that it doesn't happen in isolation. We are fellow citizens, members of a household, the household of faith. You are not members of Bay City Church, and it's all about Bay City Church. Can I say this morning, I hope you hear one thing, and that resounds in your heart and in your hearing, is that we are members of the Bride of Christ. This is simply a name given to an expression of that family, household of faith. We are not building a church. We are advancing the kingdom. And for sake of being recognized by others, we have a name called Bay City Church. But ultimately, it's about Jesus. It's for Him. When we start building a church, friends, then we start empire building. We start building around ourselves. I trust that's not what we're doing. If we are, Lord, please convict us. Deliver us from that. There's a world that needs to be touched with the gospel. And so a local church is the expression of a household of faith within the context of the universal church. So we are not the only church in the city. There are many, many churches in the city, South Africa, Africa, across the nations of the world. There is this expression of the body of Christ. There are men and women who are the handiwork of God displayed to this universe that we live in. We are but a small part of that. Someone made the observation, and I don't know who it was, but they said that the church, the body of Christ, is a sacred space. I like that. I'm going to just unpack that for us a little bit. It's a sacred space. See, it's a sacred space, friends, when there is a devotion, a reverent dedication to the body of Christ, ultimately to Jesus Himself. I say that it goes beyond an irregular darkening of a doorway now and again. If it's a sacred space, that my understanding that the local church is valued or being connected to one, then I'm going to treat it as a sacred space. And it's not a sacred space if we drift in and out now and again. It's a value that becomes an important part of my week. It's a definition of a value, which is a verb. Esteem, to hold in high regard. I tell you, I love the local church. Honestly, I can say that. I love the local church. When Jesus got a hold of my heart many, many, many years ago, it took me a while to get integrated into the local church because there's a bit of the old nature that wanted to keep me captive to some of the old patterns. But when I truly had a captivating vision of Jesus Christ, my heart was engaged with the local church. I don't know how I could do faith and life without you. I don't know how I can do life and faith without men and women who love Jesus. I can honestly testify to that, and Shelley will witness to that as well because she knows me better than anyone else. I used to be the first one out on a Sunday when I first got saved. Now I think I'm one of the last ones out. Jono after me, but anyway. It's to esteem, to hold in high regard. And so a value is only a value when we begin to treat it as a sacred space. So I'm wanting to look at three things this morning. In the perspective of the local church, the importance of the body of Christ with Jesus as the chief cornerstone. Jesus of the head of the church. There's three things that Paul encourages us in. And the first one is that we belong. So if you take in headings, belong. Ephesians chapter 2, I did say we would go there. Verses 1 to 7. Paul says, as for you, you were dead. He's speaking past tense. So when we belong, friends, some behavior has to change. We're going to look at that just now. He says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, past tense, when you followed the ways of this world, ways of this world he's referring to are the patterns and the values of the unredeemed, the unregenerate hearts, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived amongst them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. In fact, what he's saying is that when before you were brought into this body of Christ, that you were a selfish person. You lived for yourself, and that is true for me. And it is true for me, still is, if I lose sight of the one who has impacted and invaded my life through his power and his word. It's still true. And unless we guard our hearts, there's potential to go back to what we were. He says, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. You see, friends, the work of the gospel, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, the transforming impact and influence of his truth upon a life changes behavior. So when we made alive in Christ, it's like you've changed, transformed. You're not the person you were. Your thoughts, your desires, your attitudes are not what they were before. They've been transformed. He made us alive with Christ. In other words, dead to unredeemed behavior. Even when we were dead in transgressions. And then he says that by grace you have been saved. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. Positioned, seated us with him. In the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Access to his kingdom. Yes, we're living on earth, but we have access to everything that is available in his kingdom to us. That's what Paul is saying. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So what Paul's saying in this short sentence is that his redemptive grace has given us the right to be part of the body of Christ. When the gospel's redeemed an unregenerate heart and regenerated that heart, says then we have the right to be part of the body of Christ. Don't need to apologize for it. We have the right to be part of the body of Christ. He's saying you're no longer spiritual orphans where you drift in and out now and again and you darken the door of the church, maybe feeling guilty. Oh, you know, I've been a sinner. Am I accepted here? Well, you know, what will they say? What will they do? Good news, we were all sinners. We all behaved and acted just like you. But by his grace, we now have the right to come freely into his presence and be part of this body. We are no longer spiritual orphans, Paul's saying. Isn't that liberating? To know that the person who sits next to you acted just like you. They might not tell you, but I promise you they did. I certainly did. I can share some BC stories with Tony, but I won't. I'd rather live in the freedom of being part of this incredible family, the family of God. And not come in, well, you know, geez, what will Tony say? You know, I told them I used to do these things. And so I slip in and out, and I may be only worthy to come once a month. We are not spiritual orphans. Friends, neither are we spiritual tourists. You know, on your fridge, you've got all of those fridge magnets, the countries that you've been to. I've got a couple on my fridge. You know the countries we go to, say, yeah, we visited that place. It was so lekker there. Then we go to another nation. Hey, that was so cool there. And we collect all of these magnets. But we have no roots in those nations. We've just been there. We just visited. And yet many of us live our lives as spiritual tourists. We collect these welcome brochures of all the different churches we've been to. And they like, been there, it was lekker. Yeah, I'll go to the next one. Hey? We are no longer spiritual tourists. Paul implies by this passage of Scripture, get connected, get rooted into a family. Get connected to one another where you can grow and be together. Put down some roots, get connected. This is, friends, the reality of being made alive in Christ. Is that we can with freedom confidently. The writer of Hebrews says we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. So in that context, we can confidently take our rightful place at the table as a family member. That's the right that the gospel has given us. Confidently take our place at the table. My son doesn't have to beg to come and sit at my table and enjoy a meal with me. He doesn't have to apologize for it. He doesn't have to ask permission. He has, as a son, the right to sit at that table anytime and enjoy family together. And that picture is a picture that we need to understand in our own hearts, that we can at any time have the right to sit at his table in the company of his people and not apologize for it and feel guilty and shameful about it. Free. That's what the gospel does. Frees us. Beautiful, isn't it? This is good news. Come home. Come home. Come home. Seems to be the word that Paul's saying. Come home. Sir, ma'am, have you been living with an attitude of being a spiritual orphan or a spiritual tourist? This morning, God's saying, come home. And home would be wherever you can grow and plumb the fullness and press into the fullness of what Jesus has for you. If it's not this church, please go to another church and find your place and your purpose there. But get connected. If you roll in and out of churches, you will never get connected, never live in the fullness of that what Jesus has for you. Family is important. Biblical value, very important. It's not just because I say so, it's in the Bible. The other thing, the reality of being made alive with Christ is we have dignity. We have dignity. Our position in his body, not having been earned or deserved, but a gift freely given by his grace. He's done it all. And he says, your sin and that, all that mess that you're involved in an instant is wiped away, never to be remembered. And now I give you a cloak of righteousness. That cloak of righteousness, his righteousness, gives us dignity. And we can sit at his table free of those chains of guilt and shame. Beautiful. Sir, ma'am, wear that cloak of righteousness if you're a believer with pride, boasting in him, connected to his family, and say, I can sit here without shame and without guilt. And you know what that means? Is we can freely get involved, participate, and contribute to this body. No longer holding back. Secondly, behave. Just got three headings. Behave. So we belong and we behave. Our life is not our own when the gospel's invaded our lives. Being made alive with Christ means we belong to someone else now. This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't belong to me to abuse as I see fit. I now live and I treat this body, I treat my mind, my heart, all of those things, I submit and surrender to the one who has transformed me. So I've got to behave in a manner that brings Christ glory and honor. Can't keep on doing the bad stuff and think Jesus is going to be happy with that. We live for his glory and his honor, and our lives, our hearts, everything about us is shaped by obedience to his truth, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul reminds us in Ephesians 2, verses 13 to 18, but now in Christ Jesus you have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. He has made the two groups one, has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. The barrier he's referring to is sin. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. It says, he came and preached peace to you who are far away, peace to those who are near, and through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. And so we can't live without excuse. Well, to behave is difficult. To behave is not difficult if we're prepared to surrender our hearts and our lives to the truth of God and the Spirit of God. Possible to live free. And so what I'm talking about this morning, belonging and behaving, and we're going to look now at become, is outworked through something that we're going to highlight just now, so don't lose that point. Then become. is that we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, becoming more like him. You don't become more like the church. What you do is you become more like the head of the church, Jesus. So when we walk in obedience to his word, keeping in step, Galatians chapter 5, with his spirit, what happens is that we become more like Jesus, more of his influence, more of his effect on our lives. We become more like him. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. There is one that we follow. We can't just follow our own desires. For some of us, we have followed our own desires, and where has it got us? We should follow in his footsteps. There's two aspects to walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We know the Bible says that Jesus is coming again. Again, Paul writes that in Ephesians. He says he's coming again for a bride. I find it very difficult to picture myself as a bride wearing white, but that's what we are. Bride has prepared herself for the bridegroom. So when the day we got married, Shelley was like, wow, took my breath away. She still does. But they were just in the dress, and she's like, made herself beautiful for me. Like, wow, I get to spend the rest of my days with her. Jesus is coming back for you and I as his bride. Are we prepared? Are we ready? Are we wearing those robes of righteousness, those white robes of righteousness? Are our hearts prepared and ready for him? And so walking in his footsteps, becoming more like him, is actually preparing our hearts and our lives for his return. And when he returns, we are ready for the bridegroom. And he takes us home to be with him. Sir, ma'am, are you ready? Are you preparing yourself? And that's the prophetic aspect. So there's a prophetic call in there, that Jesus is coming again. It's a prophetic promise that he's coming again. Secondly, is there's an apostolic thrust. That apostolic thrust to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And I don't care how long you've been saved, but we're all called to reach the lost. In some way, we can touch the lives of people who don't know Jesus. In some way, we can do that. Jesus ministered in practical ways to people. Jesus turned water into wine for people. I'm not suggesting we pray that prayer and do it. Jesus healed people, raised people from the dead, provided food for people, preached the message to people where hearts were convicted and lives were changed. We are a diverse group of people, and God has placed within us something in which we can touch our world with in different ways. And every day we have an opportunity to rub shoulders with this world that we live in and reveal this incredible King that has changed our lives. So as much as it's not just becoming, it's all about me. Becoming like Jesus and being prepared and equipped and discipled so that I could walk in obedience to his truth. But it's also becoming like him, where I hold out this word of life that has changed me and impacted my heart and my life. And very often, it's like we camp in the one. Not wrong, but it's got to come alongside this apostolic thrust of the gospel as well. So hence the vision for this morning, family becoming, family belonging, family behaving on mission, that which we belong to, that which we are behaving like, that which we are becoming, we take to this world that we live amongst. Family on mission. You're going to hear a lot about this. Our preaching for the next 4 or 5 weeks is going to be anchored in that family on mission. Growing together. Going together. Praying together. Praising together. But that's what we are called to. So our vision for this year, you might say, well, that's so simple. But at least something we can lay a hold of. Keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. I surrender my life under his headship. And I walk in obedience to what he's saying to me and calling me to. And we do it together. Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22. I'll end with this before Grant comes up. Paul says, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, fellow citizens with God's people, members of his household. Can you please say with me the next two words, built on? Built on. The foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together. Please say, joined together. Just your neighbor, say, you and I are joined together. If you're sitting next to the wall, just go the other way. Joined together, and it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together. Say again, built together. To become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Emphasize, built on, joined together. Belong, behave, and become happens more effectively, friends, in community. I.e., together we grow, together we go. After being a Christ follower for more than 26 years, I'm even more convinced than ever before that a Sunday moment is not enough to facilitate this togetherness that Paul speaks about and encourages us to be part of. We need to be part of a community apart from Sundays, where we meet regularly during the week at different times and different locations, accessible to diverse cultures, where we can walk in this call for this year and onwards to be family on mission. And so life groups are that vehicle that help us belong. Life groups are the vehicle that help us behave, where there is encouragement and accountability and discipleship, and help us become more like Jesus through doing life and faith together. So I'm going to invite Grant up, and I think you're going to need the mic, bud. He's going to do some interactive stuff with us, and let's welcome him.
Great. Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you all. Good to be here together this morning. So if you've got your cell phone with you or a tablet, if you wouldn't mind taking that out now and just opening up your browser on your cell phone or your tablet, we're just going to take you through. Nick's mentioned how important family is to us, and family is expressed in a way here on a Sunday, but it's more importantly expressed in our life group. So if you're not currently involved in a life group, just want to take you through some ways just so you can see who the life group leaders are, and you can make that decision about which life group you'd like to go and visit in and hopefully join. So if you've got your cell phones out and you're on your web browser, if you wouldn't mind just typing in there, baycitychurch.co.za. So you can type that in. If you're sitting next to someone who's technologically challenged, please help them through this process. And you'll see it, hopefully happening on the screen behind me as we go through it. So just type baycitychurch.co.za. Give you some time to get there. Is it working? Jono's technological challenge, that's all right. Is everyone there or not? Are you on the Bay City Church website? No. Yes. Okay, cool. That's fine. Let's just give the main computer a chance to catch up there. All right, so you've basically, can I just get an indication? Are you on the website? Yes, okay. So generally we're on. Okay. Cool. So this website is Bay City Church website, and any information that you need to know about the church is all on there. So if you need a map to know how to get there, well, hopefully you've managed to get here today already. But if you've invited someone to come to Bay City Church, you can point them to the website, because there is a map, there's explanation of how to get here. At the top of the website, there is a section called Life, all right, and you can have a look there. It's not coming up on the big screen behind me, but maybe just go there for now. And have a look. You can pick up sermons, for example. So if you miss a Sunday meeting, you didn't get to hear a message, or you want to get hear the message again during the week, you can click on that button. And what we do after Sunday morning is we put the sermon from the Sunday up on the website. So you can listen to the sermon. They're there in MP3 formats. So whenever you want, on your way to work, if you want to listen to it, or one of the evenings during the week, just to catch up. What we're going to be doing in the life of the church is we're going to be reintroducing the life group packs. So some of you may remember them, some of you might be new and not know what they are. But what we found, or an interesting stat actually, is just the number of people who can remember from Sunday to Sunday what was preached is actually very, very minimal. A lot of people actually forget by Sunday evening what was taught in the morning. So what we do with the life group packs is on Thursday nights at life groups, we go through what was preached on Sunday again, but in a different way. So it's not like the message is preached again for the second time. But we generally use the same base scripture, and then we talk about, we open the scriptures up, we have a few questions that we ask each other, because then what happens is you learn something on Sunday, then you during the week you get your life group pack, and then you can prepare. So you read the scriptures again, you think about, you contemplate what you've learned during the Sunday, and then hopefully talk about that on a Thursday night. So you like there's repetition, all right? So you're learning it on Sunday, during the week, again on Thursday night, and hopefully it'll settle in your mind and in your heart. All right, so we've got the website up on the screen behind me there. Maybe, John, if we could just go to where the sermons are. So you click there's sermon series, and then there's each of the years, even if you want to go through like historically and listen to some of the old messages. But if you just go to 2019, for example, John, just to sort of show the current, topical. And if you click on there, it's got the messages that have been preached so far this year. So nice. If you miss church on a Sunday, it's great to go online and just catch up. All right, then, John, if we could go to the life group. So if you look on the big screen, there's a section called life. So if we click on life and life groups, if you could all click there, please. And then click on there, where do the groups meet? So if you go into that page, there's a list of all of our life groups. What I'd like to do is just work through this and ask the life group leaders to stand up, as I mentioned. So we'll start there with Yanni and Rita Steenkamp. The Steenkamp sitting in the front row here, if you could stand. So there's the Steenkamp. So Steenkamp's in turn and face everyone. Thank you, Yanni. There we go. So Steenkamp's meets on a Thursday night in Weybridge Park. Steenkamp's life group is made up of young families. So if you fit into, like if you've got a young family and you're looking for a life group and you live in the Weybridge Park area, then I suggest coming to visit the Steenkamp's life group. I'm going to mention each life group, just the general demographic of that group. It's not to say if you don't belong to that demographic, you can't go to that group, or that everyone in that group is definitely that demographic. But just to give you an idea, and it might be helpful just in terms of if you're looking around at life groups. Great. So the next one down you'll see on your device is Siva and Kelsey Govender. So Siva and Kelsey, if you could stand up over there, please. So Siva and Kelsey meets at Mount Croy on a Thursday night. The demographic of Siva and Kelsey's life group is those who are hungry must come and visit. So hungry for the word of God, hungry for good food. So a lot of couples in Siva and Kelsey's group. There's one or two young families, but mainly older couples whose kids have left home already. So if you fit into that general demographic and you live in the Mount Croy area, then that's the place to be. Great. And if you're hungry, yes. All right, then, Lee and Lisa Arthur. Don't know where they are. There they are. Lee and Lisa, there we go. If you're wanting to have a good time, I think it's probably the life group to go to. So the younger crowd go to Lee and Lisa's life group. So Lee and Lisa are currently meeting in Mount Croy as well. So if you are if you're young, unmarried, looking for a life group, then I think that's a good place for you to go on a Thursday night. Great, thanks, Lee and Lisa. All right, Grant and Chantal Coley, if you'd please stand up. Oh, there we go, Chantal, so that's our life group. So we're meeting in Parsons Hill on a Thursday night, and we have quite a wide age group that meets with us from still in the womb up to great grannies. So and some young granny and grandpas as well, young families on our life group. So if you live in the Parsons Hill area, anywhere around there looking for a life group, it would be wonderful if you come and join us on a Thursday night. Come and have a look around there. Great. Then we have Darren and Rochelle. Darren and Rochelle, if you could stand, please. Darren and Rochelle meeting in the Lorraine area. So also a lot of youngsters in your group, young married couples, pretty much without children yet, most of the folk in your life group. So if you young married or young unmarried and looking for a life group in the Lorraine area, then Darren and Rochelle. Great. Thanks, Darren and Rochelle. Right, then we have Rose. Rose Burrows over there. If we give Rose a warm welcome. Great. So Rose is meeting in the Greenshields Park area, and it's a ladies' life group. Hey, Rose, so if you're a lady and you're looking for a life group, Greenshields Park, then come and chat to Rose afterwards. Thanks, Rose. Right, then Stunda and Elsa. Stunda and Elsa sitting in the back there. Let's give a round for Stunda and Elsa. Stunda and Elsa meeting in Newton Park, and Great. Meeting in the Western Suburbs area. So the correct term for the demographic there is the more mature folk. I'm allowed to use that word because I checked with Thunder yesterday. So generally the more mature folk, 60s plus, although you do have some younger in your life group, but meeting in the Western Suburbs. So if you fit into that demographic and I'm looking for a life group, then please chat to Thunder and Elsa afterwards. Great, then Brad and Lee Wood are not here right now. They're with the tweens next door, so they look after the tweens ministry as well. But is Susie here today by any chance? No. David, maybe I'll ask you to stand up. There we go. And Leo, do you want to stand up as well? There we go, because they are in the life group. So they're not the life group leaders, but they are in the life group. So they're meeting in Warmer Heights. So if you, young families in that life group, I shouldn't just say young families, but families, kids of all ages in that life group. So if you are in that area looking for a life group, then find Brad afterwards. Got to be slightly crazy. This is true, yes. So I'm looking for a life group that's slightly crazy. There we go. Thank you. And then the last one on the list there you'll see is Revive. Maybe Justin, if I could ask Justin to stand up. Great. So Justin, there we go, meeting the Revive group. So the Revive group is the high school boys and girls, young men and young ladies, meeting on a Friday night. So if you're in that category or if you know somebody in that category who's looking for fellowship on a Friday night, then please point them towards Justin. You'll see on the website, telephone numbers are available. So if you don't get to chat to a life group leader today and you want to phone them during the week, then that's how you can get hold of them. All right, if you look on your browser again, just at the very top of the screen, and every browser is different, but you'll see the one that Jono has is a little Facebook sign or emblem on top right on your browser, probably on the top left, you might see three little lines. If you wouldn't mind clicking on those, and when you click on that, there's a little link to the Facebook page. If you wouldn't mind just clicking through to the Facebook page, and then Jono will do the same on the big screen. Just wait for it to open. So basically, church has a Facebook page. Facebook page also just has a lot of our details on there. There's a link to all the blogs. So whenever we update the blog, that appears on the Facebook page. And then you'll see just below the picture on the right-hand side, there's a, not sure where it is on here. There we go. On the left-hand side on the big browser, I think it's the right-hand side on your telephone browser, there's an option to like the Facebook page. If you wouldn't mind just liking the Facebook page, and then what will happen is whenever there's a new alert that comes out, it'll appear on your Facebook page, your news feed. If I get the right terminology, it'll appear on your news feed. So you'll be aware of any events that are happening or when new pictures are uploaded or posted on there. So yeah, so it seems like there's some activity happening there on the Facebook page. So please just like that and help you keep connected and keep involved and know what's going on in the life of the church.